Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hello and welcome to Connecting Faith, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. Looking forward to sharing a great hour with you today, and wish you a wonderful day of food and family and whatever it is that that this day means for you. And hopefully it is a day filled with Thanksgiving, first and foremost, as it should be every day. There's an old saying, says, learning to count our blessings is one of the most difficult arithmetics to master. And hopefully, even after our time together today, we'll have a better appreciation and understanding of how we can express gratitude and thanks to God, first and foremost, for all that He's done for us. So let me tell you what's coming up on today's program. In a little bit, we'll visit with Nancy Lita Moss. You hear, of course, regularly on Revive Our Hearts on Faith Radio, afternoons at 1:30. And Nancy has written a book about gratitude, and we'll reflect on that, her good thoughts and insights on that. But before we begin our discussion with Nancy Lita Moss, we're going to spend some time talking about the real meaning of Thanksgiving. In fact, get a little historical perspective from Barbara Rainey. And for that, we turn to George Carden, one of our news correspondents and good friends of the ministry here at Faith Radio. George had an opportunity to talk with Barbara a while back about her writing. She's done a great deal of research and writing on Thanksgiving and talk about the real meaning of that, and invite you to stay tuned for some insight on Thanksgiving and gratitude. It's all ahead on today's Connecting Faith.
We're visiting with Barbara Rainey, author of the book Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember, published by Crossway Books. As a mother of six, grandmother of 14, and wife of one husband, Barbara wanted to be sure her children and grandchildren knew the real stories behind Thanksgiving.
I was a history major in college, and as I began raising my kids, and we continued to have more kids, we have six altogether, I wanted them to know the real history of our country. I wanted them to know the Christian heritage that we had inherited here. And I realized they weren't getting it in books that we checked out of the library, and as they, some of them went off to school. We did some homeschooling, but as they went off into school in later elementary years, they weren't getting it there either. And so I felt like that was something that I wanted to do, and I began to do some research and track down some of the stories. And for a number of years, probably about 10 or 12 years, I just had these little snippets of stories from different books and different places that I would read to my kids every Thanksgiving. And then eventually I had the time to be able to put it all together into a book. So that was my motivation, was my children and wanting them to know the real story of our Christian heritage.
Barbara, let's talk about the Mayflower Compact. I'm sure most everyone has heard of that, but probably my bet would be that a lot of people don't really know what the Mayflower Compact was. Explain to us, what was the Mayflower Compact?
Well, it was an agreement that was written up on the ship of the Mayflower itself as they landed in the New World, and it was written because their ship had been blown off course, and they landed in New England farther north than they had intended to land, and therefore the place where they dropped anchor was not governed by the agreement that they had with the Virginia Company in England. And so there was some dissension and some discussion, and different people were wondering, now what do we do? Now that we're not under this, you know, the authority of this company in England, what do we do? And so they began to talk about how will we govern ourselves, and they spent a day on board the ship in 1620 in November after they'd landed, discussing what agreements they wanted to have between themselves. And they wrote this agreement that we now know as the Mayflower Compact, and everyone was encouraged to sign it before they left the ship so that everyone was in agreement that this is how we are going to live, and this is how we are going to conduct ourselves in this place where God has brought us.
Barbara, can you tell us some of the key points that were made in the Mayflower Compact?
Well, one of the quotes that I use in the book that I always felt like was a really good one comes from the book The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. And they wrote that the Mayflower Compact was the first time in recorded history that free and equal men had voluntarily covenanted together to create their own new civil government. And I think that that's one of the keys to the Mayflower Compact, and what makes it so unique is that it was an agreement that they made together, and it wasn't under compulsion by a king or by another government official from somewhere else, but of their own free will, they wrote these agreements that they wanted to live by.
Barbara, tell us about the fabric or the lineage of the Mayflower Compact and how it actually began with the Bible. It began with God's Word, and now in this day and age, in our modern age, the Mayflower Compact actually was a main influence in some of our original founding documents, right?
Well, these people who came over on the ship, who were called pilgrims, many of them belonged to the Separatist Church. They didn't all belong to the church, but the majority of them did. And they believed in the Bible. They believed in it literally. And they knew the Bible very thoroughly. They understood how God dealt with his people. They understood that God related to believers in the Old Testament and in the New Testament in the form of covenants, which was his agreement with his people. And so I believe that they used that relationship with God that they knew so well in the Bible as a model, as the pattern for which to create the Mayflower Compact. So they understood the principles of covenant, the principles of making an agreement that was a binding agreement that they were obligated to keep. And so that's the wonderful thing about the Mayflower Compact, is that it was born out of these men's understanding of Scripture and their belief in being obedient to God and to having a responsible relationship with him and his word to them. And so they used that as a model in creating the Mayflower Compact.
Well, Barbara, this Thanksgiving, do you have any special thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners or any special prayers for our nation this Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, I think that God wants us in every generation, in every year, and in every day of our lives, God calls us to gratitude. He calls us to be thankful people. And I really think, looking at our nation, that we are not a very grateful people. We've really grown up as a nation in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years to think that we're entitled to certain things. And when you look at the life of the pilgrims and the kind of life they lived, they had very, very little, and yet they were such a thankful people. They gave thanks in everything. And here we are with so much abundance, so many blessings, so much ease and wealth, and we're so ungrateful, and we're such a complaining lot of people. And so my prayer for us as a nation is that we would return to our roots that the pilgrims left for us, and that is become a nation of gratitude. And I think Thanksgiving is a wonderful time every year to be reminded that God calls us to be a thankful people. And that's why I love the holiday. It's why I love celebrating it. It's why in our family we reread the story every year. It's, you know, my kids know the story, but it's such a great reminder to hear it over and over and over again. It's like the Christmas story. You can't hear the Christmas story too much. And by the same token, I don't think you can hear the Thanksgiving story too much. We need to be encouraged to be thankful people. We need to be reminded of how much we have because of the sacrifice of those people who came over on the Mayflower and gave up so much on our behalf. And it should inspire us to be a grateful people.
Our thanks to Barbara Rainey for visiting with us today. To find out more about the book, Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember, and Barbara and her husband Dennis Rainey's ministry, Family Life, go to familylife.com.
You can also go to our website, myfaithradio.com, to find a link to Barbara Rainey's resource about the Thanksgiving. In fact, there's a number of resources available on our website, especially for this time of year. I encourage you to check it out, myfaithradio.com. And find out about affirmation, practicing the affirmation. There's a podcast about that. Ann Voskamp has a message about Thanksgiving, about the thousand thanks. There's also some important words about handling conflict. It's a download from John Maxwell. Some tips for handling conflict might be appropriate here even for today. Well, coming up in just a moment, I encourage you to stay tuned as we focus on gratitude with Nancy Lita Moss. I know you're going to want to stay tuned for that. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
radio companionship that's good for the soul.
I'd probably say it was just the leading of the Holy Spirit to, all right, listen, if you're going to have the radio on, at least do something good for yourself. I'm sure we will be amazed when we get to heaven and we find out what an impact it has made on people, and we never really realized it. Faith Radio is going to give you the opportunity to continue on that walk.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
The future you long for is just a few steps away. A future where you grow in your career, invest in others, and impact the world.
The first step is December 9th at 6 p.m. Information Night at University of Northwestern, St. Paul, will give you a closer look at what you can gain through graduate and adult undergrad programs. You'll meet professors, learn about degrees, and visit with current students. Plus, enter to win a $1,000 scholarship. Reserve your place at unwsp.edu. University of Northwestern, St. Paul.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're looking forward to spending some time today focusing on the subject of gratitude. That certainly seems appropriate at this time of year. Of course, it really ought to be appropriate any time of year, and we'll discover that it really is not just a sort of a secondary thing that we do, but it should be a foundational aspect of living the Christian life. And in the second half of our program, we'll give you an opportunity to call in and join the conversation and maybe share a word of thanks and gratitude for one or two things today that are maybe fresh in your mind. So be prepared and thinking about that. Let me introduce my guest today. I'm looking forward to spending some time with Nancy Lita Moss. You hear her regularly here on Faith Radio on Revive Our Hearts. And she has written at least 10 books. Anyway, maybe 11. The book that we're going to reference today is called Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. And you hear her teaching on Revive Our Hearts. And she leads women's conferences. The True Woman Movement is one of her passions. But this is really, Nancy, this is not just something for women, is it, about choosing gratitude?
Well, I know as a woman I need it, but I think we all do. And I'm just thinking about that passage in Colossians 2 that says that we are to be abounding in thanksgiving. And, you know, some people maybe just have temperaments that are, you know, a little more upbeat and positive and cheerful and optimistic. I'm not one of those people, naturally. And so writing this book was a real challenge to my own heart because I can tend to be a little bit more like Eeyore, you know,
sure,
and a little more see the negative side of things. And life has a lot of hard things in it. So to be abounding in thanksgiving all the time, that really came as a challenge to my own kind of bent. And it's been a really helpful thing to me to keep pondering, what does it mean and how does it look and how can the Holy Spirit enable me in the midst of, you know, the permacloud weather we have up here in the north in the winter, and dark, dreary days and days when there are things that we would think give us more reason to cry than to rejoice. How can we really keep abounding in thanksgiving?
Is it okay to have that temperament? I mean, is that maybe not an excuse, but to say, you know, not all of us, like as you say, are upbeat and you know, overly enthusiastic. But so does that just mean we have to work hard at it, or is it all right if we aren't quite so joyful all the time?
Well, we do have different temperaments and personalities, and I think that's God created. But, boy, it's hard to escape in Scripture this calling to give thanks, regardless of how we're wired or how we feel or what's going on in our lives. And I think one of the most powerful, one of the people who's had the greatest impact in my life in this area is the woman we all know and love, Johnny Erickson Tada, who has spent the last, 40-some years wheelchair-bound. And for her, just getting up in the morning, getting dressed, getting her hair done, it's a major chore every day. And for the last, you know, few years, she has lived in pretty constant, severe pain. And just life is an effort, you know. But I get around that woman, as you probably have over the years, and I see in her a steadfast determination to run into the face of you know, whining and misery and focusing on her problems. And you can't be around Johnny without her breaking out into singing a hymn of praise or quoting scripture of praise. And it's, I don't think it's that she is wired to be, you know, just this irrepressibly upbeat person. I think she knows if she doesn't run into the face of her melancholy and her discouragement, that it will control her. And so she fights against it with gratitude. And I've watched her do that, and I've thought, you know, if Johnny, with her life circumstances, can choose gratitude as a way of life, then anyone can, including me.
Well, I know we want to talk more about, you know, making that choice in the midst of hard times, but let's maybe go back and talk about definitions. Is gratitude more than a thank you?
Well, you know, you can go walk in any you know, Hallmark store or whatever and find some nice sentiments and sweet cards and saying thank you. And of course, that's like, that's a starting place. I think anybody can say thank you. And it's a missing grace in our culture. You don't see so many thank you notes anymore. But I think it's an important one. But we're talking about distinctively Christian gratitude goes beyond just saying thank you. And I think it's a response as a Christian to the fact that we were hopelessly lost, you know, in our sins. We were guilty of God's judgment and his wrath, but God had amazing grace that he has poured out on us. He has lavished upon us. It's, you know, our guilt and his grace, you put that together and you've got something that has to result in eternal gratitude. I mean, we just owe God so much, and yet he doesn't ask us to pay him what we owe. You know, he knows we can't. And so I think gratitude in the heart of a Christian is not just a general thank you, but it's a heavenward. Lord, you are so incredible that you would have delivered me and rescued me from darkness and sin and Satan and eternal judgment, that you would have poured out your grace in my life. I want to spend all the rest of my life and all of eternity just being grateful to you. So it's something that if we really stop and think about it, I think would well up more in our hearts as a response to God's amazing grace.
I was just thinking as I was reading your book that, you know, there's a growing number of people who profess atheism. And I'm just thinking not to disparage them, but there is a sense where if we're not giving gratitude and thanks to God, then, you know, we're not really living a grateful life, are we?
Well, I think that's what you see in Romans chapter 1, where you have this, you know, incredible litany of depravity and all the things that individuals in a culture sink down into, ending up with very perverse sexual behavior, deviancy, etc. But it's interesting that the starting point of that list in Romans 1 is failing to give thanks to God, failing to be thankful. And I, you know, when we give into whining or murmuring or complaining, we're really living like practical atheists. That life is all about us, that there is no God who is sovereign or in control, or if there is, then he's made a mess of things. And so failing to honor God or to give thanks to him, what I find in my life is that it sets me on a destructive slide that takes me down to depths that I would never have thought I could have gone to. And that, I think that's what we see in our culture. We have this whole culture of entitlement. We're owed this. The government ought to do this for us. We have a right to this, and I have a right to this in my marriage. I have a right to be treated this way in the workplace. It's such a rights crazed culture, and we imbibe that, you know, we're that's in the air we breathe. So when we fail to be thankful, we really are, we're distancing our hearts from God, and ultimately a whole culture can come to the place where it effectively denies the goodness or the existence of God.
You know, your book before this, I think last time we talked about one of your books, it was Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. This is Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. But it seems like they're probably pretty closely linked, right? That both have to be chosen to get us to a path where we want to go.
Yeah, that's a good observation, Neil. And the point is that if we wait to feel forgiving or grateful, we may never get there. And really, gratitude or forgiveness, these things are an act of faith. They're an act of my will. They're an act of obedience. And sometimes we're in a position, sometimes, you know, the sun's shining and you got money in the bank and your kids are, you know, your husband's crazy about you as a woman and the, you know, everything's, you know, you feel on top of the world and you're just happy. But there are other times when your eyes are filled with tears and life is hard and heartbreaking, and to give thanks, to be a grateful person on those dark days, it takes faith that God is bigger, God is greater, He is more real, His promises are true, more so than any earthly reality or circumstance. And so it's like choosing. I mean, I had an encounter of a circumstance this week that kind of emotionally flattened me and took the wind out of my sails, you know, and it was just hard. And the tears were really close to the surface there, you know, and for me, and that's very fresh in my mind right now. So for me, in the midst of that, to be lifting my eyes upward and saying, Lord, I choose to trust you. I choose to give you thanks. I choose to believe that your goodness is more real than anything I'm experiencing, you know, on this earth. That is life-giving. It's like a life preserver that buoys my emotions, those rogue emotions and thoughts that could take me under. And life is, it is hard, and there's such an undertow. I know even here at this Thanksgiving season, you know, we have this, you know, Rockwellian picture of what Thanksgiving, you know, family togetherness should look like. Well, sadly, that picture doesn't exist in reality very often. And there are people this week who are, you know, recent widows, maybe lost a child this year, maybe they're single and have no one to share Thanksgiving meal with, or the people they're with just aren't family, or they are with family and it's dysfunctional and there's friction and stress, and that's more reality. And in the midst of that, if we don't give thanks, if I don't give thanks for God's goodness and His grace, then I'm going to get sucked into the undertow of bitterness, resentment, discontentment, discouragement. It'll take me under, and it'll take anybody under. And that's where I think choosing gratitude becomes such a life-giving thing.
And I was just thinking back as you talked about that, even going back to as you discussed Romans 1, how it's so precarious on that slope. We can so easily slide down and get to a life of ingratitude that just becomes becomes a natural way in which we live, and that maybe not even realizing it, but you know, we never used to be this way, but we become embittered, I guess. I mean, we all know people like that. Say, what happened to them?
And usually we're the person who is that way is the last person to know it.
Yeah.
You know, and we wonder, why don't people want to be around me? And because that ingratitude, as it takes on other uglier forms, is toxic. It's, you know, we all want to be around people who are choosing to express gratitude rather than to get sucked into discontent and, you know, ask me how I'm doing and I'll tell you everything that's wrong. And that's kind of my bent. So I have to, you know, fly into the face of that and work against it by consciously enumerating the goodnesses of God. I've started in the last week just a little thing I've been really enjoying, and that's just writing out by hand the Psalms. And many of those, the ones I'm in right now, the later Psalms, you find them you find the reality of tough circumstances, but you find the psalmist always reverting, you know, ending up at, but God, you are good. You are faithful. Your steadfast love endures forever. I wrote out Psalm 136 yesterday by hand, and the second half of every verse is the same refrain. Your steadfast love endures forever. And what a great reminder that is, that that's the enduring reality and the thing we can cling to even when the hardships of life are pressing in around us.
You know, you talk about doing that, but writing things up by hand, but actually sort of taking action. I know that's part of what it means to choose gratitude and to experience that journey to joy. And we want to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. We're visiting today with Nancy Lee DeMoss. Nancy, of course, you hear regularly on Revive Our Hearts, the national broadcast. It's heard on over 1,000 radio stations around the country. She has authored a number of books. Hopefully you've read some of them, Wise Women Believe, The Truth That Sets Them Free. We talked a while back about Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. And the one we're referencing today is called Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. And we're going to continue talking more with Nancy in just a moment. Connecting Faith, glad to have you connecting with us today as we talk about gratitude. It's certainly appropriate at this season of the year, but it should be appropriate for us as believers every day of the year. In fact, it should be a lifestyle choice, helping us to reflect on it as Nancy Lee DeMoss. She's here on Revive Our Hearts, and she's written a new book called Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. It's published by Moody Press. And Nancy, you know, you talk about in the book that this is not... gratitude is not sort of a secondary or just a sort of down the bottom of the list of other virtues or characteristics of a Christian, right? This really is, ought to be central.
Yeah, for a lot of us, I think it feels like, you know, kind of a non-essential add-on or an accessory to our Christian faith and maybe not as important as some other virtues. But in writing this book, which I thought actually was going to be an easier book to write than some of the other ones I've done, it turned out to be very penetrating to my own heart, because I think going into this, I would have said, if you asked me, I think I'm a pretty grateful person. My parents were rigorous about making us write thank you notes for birthday gifts or Christmas gifts, and whether we wanted to or not, we did. And so this was kind of ingrained in my DNA. But as I studied the scripture and worked on this book, I realized two things. One is that it's much more important than I had realized, and that ingratitude, the opposite of that, has much more devastating consequences than I realized. But I also realized I wasn't as grateful a person as I might have thought I was. And I've had numerous people say that to me when they read this book, that, you know, I thought I was a grateful person until I read this book, and God's truth started penetrating my heart. But so that's a hard thing, but it's a good thing, because it is an area where we really can say, you know, Lord, change me and purpose and take steps to develop a grateful heart. In fact, at the I think one of the most important parts of the book is a 30-day devotional guide that's in the back of the book, a devotional guide for growing in gratitude. Because, you know, so many things, you read a book or you hear a message and you say, yeah, I need more of that, but then you go on to the next thing. Well, it takes time to develop a habit, and there's a 30-day devotional with scripture to read, with things to consider, with practical exercises to help strengthen the gratitude muscles and see it become more a way of life.
You know, Nancy, I'm thinking, I know you spent some time just going through a number of scriptures, but there's a familiar story to us. It's recorded in the Gospels about the 10 lepers and the only one that came back. But I'm thinking, you know, Jesus certainly healed hundreds of people, and this seems like the only account where someone is sort of called out for not being grateful, or for nine for not being grateful. In fact, but I'm sure that they were, as they went on their way, they were rejoicing. But is gratitude not gratitude until it's expressed?
That's a really important point. I kind of define gratitude. This is nothing, you know, inspired about this definition, but I think of it as recognizing and expressing appreciation for the benefits that I have received from God and others. And so it's recognizing those benefits, which is a starting place, because certainly those lepers did, you know, they had to be incredibly grateful that they didn't have to live the life of a leper anymore. So it's recognizing those benefits. But with God, sometimes we're slow to recognize those benefits. And, you know, go read Psalm 103, and it talks about not forgetting any of his benefits. Yeah. We need to recognize them, but then also we need to express them. Express appreciation for those benefits, not just take them for granted. And I think that gratitude goes two ways. It goes Godward, which is the vertical, and it goes horizontally to others. And how many people do we live with, work with, serve with, go to church with, who, you know, they have blessed our lives in significant ways. Think about the person who introduced you to Christ, or the parents God gave you. And in some cases, many cases, perhaps, you know, in no case were they perfect parents. In some cases, they may have been very poor parents, but they gave you life. And I think even in people who've adversely affected our lives, there may be something about them for which we could be grateful. But certainly there are people who, you think about the, you know, the pastor who works hard each week to prepare a sermon for your, you know, the church where you attend. And it's so easy to pick apart or critique or think he doesn't sound like, you know, he's not as good as David Jeremiah or John MacArthur or whatever, you know, to be on the negative side of things, but to stop and say, thank you. In fact, I've had it on my heart this week, and this is a good reminder, to just stop and jot a note to my pastor and his wife and thank them. They're going through some difficult times, I understand, and I just want to thank them for being faithful and for serving the congregation in the way that they do. And so sometimes we think those things, but we don't actually say them. And I think that, you know, taking the time to jot an email or to jot a note or to stop and verbally say, I just want you to know how much I appreciate that you whatever, or I see evidence of God's grace in your life in this way, or you've impacted my life in this way, to thank the Lord and to thank others, to express it, I think really is very important. It's life-giving. It gives life to us and it gives life to others. And I think we'd be amazed, Neil, at how many people might rise to the encouragement and the affirmation, sincerely given. And when we spend so much time focusing on how people disappoint us or let us down or don't meet our expectations, it's true in a marriage. Let me just say this. One of the most effective things, tools we've seen in Revive Our Hearts Ministry is this 30-day husband encouragement challenge we give wives. And we just say every day for a month, instead of criticizing your husband, tell him something that you appreciate about him. And I have gazillions of emails we've received back from women telling us how the whole tenor and tone and atmosphere in their marriage has changed in the course of 30 days when they would just take time to say, thank you. I appreciate this. It blesses God, it blesses others, and it blesses us.
You know, Nancy, you said, you know, it's life-giving. I think we can all think of times, and hopefully we can think of at least a time or two when someone has expressed thanks to us and how much it meant to us. What does it mean to God when we express thanks to him?
Well, he's a father, and I assume you're a dad. And, I mean, what does it mean to any parent when your children stop to say, I appreciate that? You know, if they only ever ask for things, that's not a really satisfying relationship. Now, does God get dissatisfied on a relational level? I don't know. But I know that if he tells us to bless, to give thanks to him and to bless others and to have a thankful heart, it certainly means something to him that we do. And it certainly, at some level, has got to be hurtful to God when we don't. And I don't want to, you know, belabor that theologically, because God's bigger than our failures, and he is not, you know, he doesn't get locked into our failures the way that sometimes we do emotionally with other people. But it certainly has to be, it has to bless him when we say thank you.
Is it harder to give thanks in the hard times or the good times? I mean, are we, you know, we're told to give thanks in all things. You know, Johnny Tata, you mentioned, is a real inspiration to you and to many of us. How do we give thanks in the hard things, but the good things as well?
You know, I think they're both really important. And the thing is, when things are going well, sometimes Deuteronomy 8 says, you know, when you move into this great land I'm giving you, God said to the Israelites, and you have all these, this, you know, lavish provision and these abundant blessings, don't forget where you got them. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that it was me who gave it to you, you know? So we tend to become neglectful and forgetful when we have just blessing upon blessing. And then when we run into the times of adversity, we tend to become resentful and rather than thankful. So in adversity or in plenty, you know, there's a challenge to remember to be grateful. And I think it is certainly hard in the hard times to give thanks. And that's where it becomes an exercise of faith. I can just look back on so many times in my life, and any, we all can, when we struggled to trust that God really was in control, that he knew what he was doing, that he was good. And we began to resent people or circumstances that hurt us, or just losses. And, you know, here we're coming to a holiday season, and which is such a painful time for many people because of family dynamics or painful circumstances. But I just want to say that it can be so perspective altering and life giving to obey God's word in this area of thankfulness. It's a choice, and it really does. I think the whole world looks different when we see it through eyes of gratitude and we see it through eyes of faith. And it makes God big. I mean, not that we need to make God big, but from our perspective, God becomes bigger and our problems become not so big. You know, it's that old gospel song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I think this Thanksgiving week, that's such a great exercise every week, as you said at the top of the program, to just enumerate God's blessings, and the problems will seem not so major, not so daunting when we see them in the context of God's amazing grace and goodness.
And is the outcome joy? I mean, the title of the book is Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. I think we all want to live, we all want to experience joy, but it seems fleeting and hard to attain.
Well, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and as we walk, as we abide in Christ, and we keep our eyes on Him, and we obey Him because we love Him, joy is the fruit that comes from that. But I'll say conversely, I really believe that a good portion of the depression, discouragement, the negative emotions that can so, you know, nip at our heels in the journey of life, I think a lot of that is the fruit of failing to give thanks. And I know it's true in my own life. And so I think one of the antidotes to dealing with discouragement and depression and anxiety is to give thanks. And that we can, those things can be displaced and replaced by a spirit of joy when we take the step and obey God and give thanks, whether we feel like it or not.
Nancy, you talk in the book about going gratitudinal. Let's talk about just for a few minutes. Are there some ways that we can start? I mean, I think if we did a self-assessment, we'd all realize that we could take some major steps forward in being more grateful. So how do we start?
Well, that's one of the reasons we put in this book this 30-day exercise, 30-day devotional exercise, because we want it to become a way of life. But, you know, a great place to start is just by, simple as it is, that count your many blessings, name them one by one, write them down. I did an exercise for a while that somebody gave me, a gratitude journal that just had space every day to five lines each day to list five things you're thankful for. And that sounds so simple, and there's certainly more to it than that, because we're not talking about just a Pollyanna sort of, you know, way of life that, oh yeah, let's play the glad game. Though I think Pollyanna really is a great role model, if you remember that old movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to you know, dismiss or be disrespectful. I think she is a great example, but sometimes to people that can seem like you're in denial. You're pretending like there's nothing wrong. Well, that little girl had a lot of things wrong in her life, a lot of pain and misery, but she always chose to look at it through eyes of gratitude. And I think as we start to enumerate, to write down, to list, to express these things that we do have to be grateful for, even when it may seem that our world is falling apart or the pain is so great, it does just shift the perspective. And the other thing I have found that I just recommend as a practical word is, I find when I sing to the Lord, and I'm not a singer, so I don't really like doing this when anybody else is around. But if I will take hymns or praise choruses and just sometimes, I'll tell you, Neil, I've done this at times when I was crying so hard you could hardly tell what I was singing. But I would open my hymnal or begin to sing a praise chorus, or it just has a way of dispelling the gloom, the darkness, because it's not just positive thinking, but it's focusing my heart and my eyes, fixing my eyes, as Philippians 4 says, on the things that are true and good and lovely and honorable, and not pretending like the bad things don't exist, but giving thanks in the midst of that really does, it makes it all look very different. It doesn't make it all go away, but it makes it look different.
Nancy Lee DeMoss is my guest, and wanted just to ask her in just a moment to offer a prayer for us as we want to begin Choosing Gratitude. Your Journey to Joy is the title of the book we're talking about. Nancy Lee DeMoss, you hear her on Revive Our Hearts, and she's our guest today on Connecting Faith.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Are you new to the station? Well, welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. We have a new listener packet that's designed for friends just like you. It tells you a little bit about the station, who we are, why we exist, and what we're hoping to accomplish in the Upper Midwest. It's yours free for the asking at myfaithradio.com. Check it out. It's myfaithradio.com. It's the new listener packet. Request yours today.
It's been the bestseller since the printing press was invented. Controversial for centuries, history can't ignore the message of the Bible. If you're looking to go deeper in your study of God's work, stop by our website this month for a chance to win a free MacArthur Study Bible, a great resource featuring more than 20,000 study notes stretching from Genesis to Revelation, compiled by Dr. John MacArthur. Start a deeper walk of faith today when you visit myfaithradio.com and search Bible Study.
To Connecting Faith. We want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and thankful for an opportunity to spend some time with Nancy Lee DeMoss. Nancy, before you go, just say a word about how we can enter into worship. Maybe many of us are kind of going through the motions. We come to church and not really experiencing, not that it's all about what we experience, but the underlying message in the book is that it is about worship as opposed to whining. So what can true worship look like? And just give us a challenge as we head into church this weekend.
Well, let me just say about that worship versus whining. I find in every circumstance of my life, my response is really going to be to worship or to whine. And at any given time, I'm doing one or the other, pretty much. So to choose the journey of worship, the act of worship rather than whining, is again a life-giving thing. And I think that's so important as we head into our church services. There are things that we wish were different. Sometimes there are comparisons that we can make to other churches. We tend to get dissatisfied with what we're so familiar with. And I find a lot of people being discontent or dissatisfied with their church experience. And just a reminder, I have to remind my own heart of this, that it's not about what I get out of church. It's not about what it does for me, how it ministers to me. It's about who God is. And I go there to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise, and to join others in doing that. And we are feeble, flawed individuals coming together to do that in community. But God is holy. He is good. He is faithful. He is worthy of our worship. And it's not about, you know, is the style of the music what I would prefer, or is the pastor's message scintillating, and or, you know, those things are just also secondary. What is key is that my heart is prepared, and I am coming as a giver, as a lover of Christ, as a worshiper, to honor him, to give to God's people, to contribute rather than to come as a taker. And again, that's a grateful heart. It makes you a giver rather than a taker. And so just a word of encouragement as we come to, you know, our services this weekend, our churches, to come as worshipers, as givers, as servants, as lovers. And when we do, I think we find that our cup will get filled as well. We won't come away empty.
You know, this is not about the scarcity mentality. This is an abundance mentality, because when we begin to live and choose gratitude, there is an overflow of joy into the lives of others, and that just continues all of ultimately giving glory back to God. Nancy, thank you for your good challenge today, and for your honest evaluation here in this world in which it's so easy to be ungrateful. So thanks for helping us.
Thank you, Neil, and so grateful for our friends at Faith Radio, and just wish you God's richest blessings in this season.
Nancy, if you would close out our time today and lead us in a word of prayer.
And, oh, Lord, how we do give thanks to you this day for your incredible goodness and mercy and grace. You are a faithful God, and we look back over this past year, and yes, there have been hard things, there have been hurtful things, and Lord, you know the pain, you know the tears, you know the heartaches and the burdens that I carry and that many of our listeners today carry. But in the midst of all that, Lord, we want to lift our eyes up to you and say, you are good. You are faithful. You are true. And you are a merciful God. And so we thank you. Thank you for grace. And I pray for that grace to be lavished upon every listener. And in this Thanksgiving season and beyond, Lord, please give us thankful hearts. Infuse us by your Spirit with that attitude of gratitude. And as we cooperate with you in that, I pray that you will lift up the heads and the hearts and the hands of friends who are listening right now, that you will encourage them, that you will pour, exchange that spirit of heaviness, in exchange for that, give them a garment of praise. And may there be hearts lifted, and may you be glorified and honored as we give thanks to you in this season and every day of our lives. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Angelita Moss is my guest. The book is called Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. It's published by Moody Press. And, of course, you hear Nancy on the broadcast Revive Our Hearts. You can also find out more about her books and ministry at reviveourhearts.com.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh,
10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy. Time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years.